The Gemara in Shabbos tells us a very interesting halacha, which perhaps modern science might dispute, or I should say will definitely dispute, but let's see what the halacha is first, and then how do we deal with it. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, we know that the Torah tells us there's the 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos, is known as the Lamed Tetz Melachas. You know, the Torah just says don't do malacha, and we have a tradition that it means the 39 prohibited activities. And one of the prohibitions on Shabbos is to take a life, Netilas Neshama. We're talking about shchita of an animal. Slaughtering an animal, doing shchita, that is prohibited on Shabbos because it violates the prohibition of Netilas Neshama. Of course, killing a human being as well is not only usher on Shabbos, because we don't do capital punishment on Shabbos, but it's usher all the time. You can't kill someone. But in case where, let's say, there's a mitzvah to kill the person, but we don't do it on Shabbos anyway, and as well. So the Gemara says, what happens, so are all animals equal, or insects? So the Gemara tells us, someone who kills lice on Shabbos it's permitted. It's not there's no biblical prohibition of killing lice. It'll make many parents happy who have to clean the lice. They only have to worry about pulling out here as opposed to killing lice. But the Gemara says killing lice is permitted. So the Rambam, the Gemara goes into, and the Rambam Maimonides, who is a doctor himself, elaborates why is it that killing a cow is prohibited, but killing lice is not. So the Rambam elaborates. Anyone who knows the ABC of science knows there's something called spontaneous generation. That when do we say it's prohibited to kill an animal? An animal born from a mommy, from an egg. They came from a reproduction. But something which is just born out of sweat or dirt or whatever spontaneous generation came out of, so therefore that's not in the prohibition of Netilas Neshama. So that's the Gemara. However, we're familiar with Louis Pasteur was his name. I'll just read. Spontaneous generation is an obsolete theory regarding the origin of life from inanimate objects. Would you agree it's an obsolete theory? It is generally accepted to have been ultimately disproven in the 19th century by the experiments of Louis Pasteur, expanding on the experiments of other scientists who started in the 17th century. So basically, this as the Rambam wrote during his time, all the scientists agreed there was spontaneous generation. It's clear today, it's an obsolete theory. No one believes in spontaneous generation anymore. So the question is, what do we do with the Rambam? What do we do with the Gemara? The Rambam writes, it's permitted to kill lice on Shabbos because they're spontaneous generated. Now that we know that it's not true, so does the halacha change or not? So interesting, when Louis Pasteur came out and he finally disproved it, so the communists had their own idea because they're atheists. And what do you mean? Of course there's spontaneous generation. I have to believe who put the first animal, who put the first person down. So we know money could buy anything. They just hired a bunch of scientists and they paid them off, and they wrote a whole article saying, no, there is spontaneous generation. So when this came out, many of the rabbis were dancing in the street. Oh, great, now we have an answer. The Rambam was right. But the truth is, we all know that was just a phony study. Yeah. So back to our original question then, what do we do? How do we learn that Gemara? So as always, there are different schools of thought. How do you deal when you have a conflict between medical science and the Gemara? So one approach is as follows. So, and it's similar to an approach Rav Dessler has. I'll just tell you what Rav Dessler says in a different context, and then we'll tie it into here. So there's a concept of a trefa. A trefa is an animal that has a hole in its lung or a hole somewhere in its body, and it's going to die within the year. So the Gemara has many different examples, and it's a separate discussion, not tonight. There are many examples where the Gemara says they're a trefa, they're going to die, but modern science says, but that's not what I'm talking about now. There's a certain type of, it's called the drusa, it's a wildcat attacked this animal, and the Gemara in Chulin, during the time of the Gemara, 53a, I believe, says that this, there was an observational fact. When a wildcat attacked this animal, the animal would die much quicker than if some other animal attacked it. So the question is why? You know why? So I guess at the time of the Gemara, I guess they must have spoke with the scientists, or the rabbis might have been scientists themselves. And he said, you know why? It must be because the wildcats excrete or some venom, and therefore the poison gets into the animal and they die quicker. That was the understanding then. However, we know scientists say that's not true. There is no venom in a wildcat. And they came, so what did the scientists come up with? They had come up with a different explanation. The explanation was, it must be then because the claw of a wildcat goes in deeper than most other animals, and then maybe the dirt, the dying, then it gets down, dirt, infection. And the bottom line, they came up with another reason. So Rav Dessler says as follows. He says, his approach is that really when the Gemara gives a halacha, it's based on a tradition. So therefore the halacha is true. What they try to do during the time when they had the halacha, if they had a tradition, they spoke to the scientists of the day and try to come up with some theory, like, okay, why did this... This is the halacha, but I don't understand. Tell me, try to help me understand it. And the scientists, and then they came up, well, it must be the venom. But now we know that's not true. So Rav Dessler's approach is you preserve the halacha at the certain time. At the same time, you encourage the study of science and going to scientists, because the halacha is not based on that. You're just trying to, you look for the modern theory to try to explain the certain halacha. So Rav Dessler has an approach like that. Someone will explain here as well. What's the reason why? Why would you? Okay, so some will say, well, now that we know there's no spontaneous generation, you're not going to kill lice. That's what someone argued. It's based on the science of their time. That's the Rambam's son and others. That basically there's nothing holy about the science of the time. The rabbis only knew just as much as the scientists of that time. Again, so we'll see, we're just discussing one halacha, but obviously, depending on which halacha, some might have been based on a tradition. But according to the Rambam's son and others, if it's purely based on a scientific observation, if that's not true anymore, then you drop the halacha as well. If the halacha is based on an erroneous assumption, unless you could come up with a different one. So therefore, they explain as follows. There's a halacha about, we know there's a halacha of eating kosher, not having milk and meat. And in addition, we'll be reading in a couple of weeks, there's a prohibition of eating bugs. Not that people, I mean, I guess maybe it was.
Except for locusts.
Right. So there's certain, you know, when we had those in Israel, during Egypt, over there, it was over Pesach time a couple of years ago, whenever it was. So and that's a big chiddush to say bugs are usher, because usually the Torah only prohibits something which is edible. But there's a special prohibition not to eat bugs. That's why you have let's say you have bugs on vegetables, on romaine, especially now Pesach time. Romaine lettuce is big, obviously you have to make sure there's no bugs on it. But as we know today, right now as I'm talking, I might be swallowing many bugs. There's organic bugs, invisible bugs. Every moment you go, they're around. Is that true or not?
That's true.
Okay. And therefore, one is not obligated to look at take out a microscope or some special instrument to find if there are any organic organisms around. In fact, that's where Moshe writes by the laws of Nida. Let's say if you're checking a cloth to see if it's red or not. So Ramosha writes, if the only way you can see it's red is by using a microscope, then we don't view that as a woman being needed. Because then if you can't see it, or there's a story, someone came to one of the rabbis and gave him his pair of tefillin and said, are these square? Because tefillin have to be square. So the rabbi looked, they look square, they're fine. So the guy said, no, they're not square. He says, I know, I'm a dentist. I work on these fillings, and if I could see it. So the rabbi said to him, that That's not an issue. And as a normal person, to them it's square. Your eyes are trained like an instrument, so therefore we don't go by what you see. We go by... So halacha is concerned with only visible things, not invisible things. And we see many halachas like that. And therefore, the bugs... Again, it doesn't mean, well, okay, well, I'll close my eyes and I'll eat the romaine lettuce. It's not the way... The fact that you close your eyes doesn't make it invisible. I mean, it has to be something... Again, I'm not getting into the what's considered seeing it. Is a black spot enough? That's a separate class. But getting, we have to conclude here. So therefore, so that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Aruch HaShulchan, some of the classical, you know, but they passed away, but in the past 100 years, they point out that's the explanation in the Gemara. In other words, you could, you know, whether the Gemara thought spontaneous generation or not, maybe yes, maybe no, that's up for discussion. But the point being is, if you want to work like Rav Dessler, then now you see that's wrong. You come with the halacha. Some will say we reject the halacha and that's it. Others say no. We have to come up with a different reason. Obviously, that's not, the halacha is the same, but we have, so what's the reason? It's because, obviously, these eggs were so tiny in the lights, no one saw them. So people said spontaneous, but it didn't mean that it was, they didn't actually believe something came out of dirt, something came out of nothing. Of course, there had to be an egg. But what they're saying is, it's like a bug right now that I'm swallowing. Pi halacha, we view this as a halacha, not that it's really spontaneous generation. But if you can't see the egg, if you can't see it's so tiny, pi halacha, we don't consider it as growing. And therefore, that's why it's prohibited. But not that they believed in spontaneous generation. And that's why they say, like by mushrooms. So the Gemara tells us mushrooms you make a shahako niye bidvaro. Not a boer pi adaman. The question is, why? Everyone knows mushrooms comes from the ground. Right. But the Gemara says, no, it gets its nourishment from the air, not around it, not the ground. So obviously it's not provable. So what's the pshat? No, so obviously we know that they get some of the nourishment from the ground. But what halacha is saying is that nourishment they get is not significant enough in halacha that we view it. Obviously we know it grows in the ground. So there's the halachic reality and the, you know, sometimes the physical reality. Even though, so that's the pshat is. Of course, we don't believe in spontaneous generation, if a halacha is based on spontaneous generation, we throw it out. The reason why the halacha is staying is because it's not based on spontaneous generation. It's based on the fact that the eggs were invisible, and therefore halacha is telling me we view it as spontaneous, but not that it actually is. And that's how we deal with this issue of the Gemara of killing lice on Shabbos.
Thank you.